This will be our last class this week, and so if you got something you want to share, this will be your last opportunity to share in this floor mat of as we come in class format. I've asked Brother Lowell to start us off with a word of prayer.
Our Father, we bow before you because you are God. And we recognize that you have called us to be your people. We're grateful, Father, for your Holy Spirit, which you have sent to be with us. And I pray now that you will be with my brother Dan as he shall direct this discussion and provide the insights for us which we need. You know, Father, where each one of us are and what our needs are. And I pray that you will give him the insights which he needs to provide the ministry for us now. We love you, Father, and we ask for these favors and blessings now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Lowell. Darren will be running mic for us today. We're kind of scattered out, so make sure you raise your hand so that either Darren and I can see you, and so we make sure we get the mic, so because we're recording our class. I probably need to let Joe teach us the first part of the class because he used all my scriptures and that, so yeah. So anyway, like I say, we'll kind of see how we get along here in that. But our theme is I am the Good Shepherd. And I'm hopeful that each of us knew that before we came this week. But I hope maybe this week we've come to a better understanding of His love and His desires for us to come up higher and come closer to Him. And so I want to start out in John chapter 10. And I want to start with the first verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. And this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were with which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheepfold. And whatever come be, and all that ever came before me who testified not of me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy, and I am come that I might have, that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. That's his desires. Leonard.
Well, as you were sharing that, and as it talked about those that would hear his voice and those that would not, and they would recognize those that were not, and how they would flee, I thought of Joseph in Egypt, how he fled from Potiphar's wife. And so often that the saints, even though they don't recognize the voice, they don't flee. And that's where I think a lot of times we get in trouble. We dabble with things. We try to compromise. We try to do different things. And it's real. That word flee is a real key thing. You flight, get away from that which is evil.
There's so many voices out there calling us today. Some are those we have known, grew up in the church most of my life, and have had those men that I've looked up to for years, have meant so much to me and to our family. And yet, somewhere, they went off and started listening to a different voice. I wonder if, Lynn.
That taught me, and it was hard, because like you, I had some that I really liked. But the scriptures, don't put your trust in the arm of flesh.
I want to read a little bit to you out of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be unto the shepherds of Israel that do not feed, that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken, and neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. And neither have ye sought that which is lost, but with force and with cruelty have ruled over them. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the fields when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. My flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became meat to every beast in the field because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. We've talked this week about the Master and the Good Shepherd. And we know that in His church that He has set in order, restored again in 1830. The priesthood, as he did when he came upon the earth and set up his church. We today are witnessing those shepherds which are feeding themselves. With all the things we see around about us and all the divisions there is in the church, but here's the hope that is for us. And at times we see a few, when I was up to the Council Bluffs branch for a retreat earlier this year, and the number of new faces of those that have come out of the COC. And so at times we see those that are coming back to follow the Master, the Good Shepherd. But it requires his servants of the priesthood to help feed his sheep on truth. Brother Joe.
You know, it's not just that these shepherds are feeding themselves, something contrary to the Lord's word, but this verse says, he'll deliver my flock from their mouth that they may not be meat for them. They were devouring the flock. Shame on them.
Always remember the testimony that Brother Tommy Thomas has shared. And he always wondered what would befall Brother R.C. Evans. And so he inquired of the Lord. And he seen Brother R.C. Evans down in the prison house. And the words that was spoke to him that he would remain there till every soul that he led away was redeemed. That's a responsibility on each one of us of the Lord's priesthood. Alberta. Yes, Darren.
You know, the one thing I love more than this world than anything are my sons and their wives. I have watched over them. Darren said a while ago, how did you know I was going to do this? I sit here and I watch. And I can tell, and that's what our Lord does with us. He watches us. He knows where we're at. He knows what we're doing. In Iowa, you have some very bad weather. We have snow. We have wind, and when you put the two of them together, you've got a blizzard. Darren has driven back and forth to Des Moines for years working. He told me one time, this was a long time ago, but it was because before Lori and Darren, I believe, were married. And the guy got out, and he made Darren a road so Darren could get home. When he was finished, Darren told me he got out and told the man driving the grader or whatever it was, snowplow, thank you. I thank you. And he says, and my mother thanks you too. Which is true, because I make a point that I call and make sure that when Darren gets home, I know he's home. Until he does, I'm in constant prayer for those boys because they are in dangerous situations. And I thank the God that we have these things, because when Kate would go to Iowa City, Larry said, Mom, he says, things just fitted before we went. He had bought a new Honda CRV, and he had transportation to take her back and forth. And he had a job that he could work back and forth and get her there and back. And we are so blessed. But, you know, our God watches us, and he knows what's going on. And sometimes I may get in my kids' lives too much, but that's okay, because I love them and they know that.
There's something about a mother's love. My youngest boy, I think, is what, 37 or something like that, and he can come over on a Sunday and eat dinner with us or something like that, and Mom wants to text him, make sure he got back to the other side of Kansas City, you know, and that. And, you know, she'll just, if she don't hear from him, then she really gets upset. But it's something about a mother's love. And as we know that the kind of love that our mothers have for us and their watch care over us, and we know that Jesus' love is even greater than that, that his watch care and knowing our every move and everything about us, wanting the best for us and for us to follow the voice of the Master. But the hope that I find, that I used the other night, and this brings me great hope and peace. This brings me peace as many of us worry about our children. Is in the start of the 11th verse, and thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in a day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in the good pastures and upon the high mountains of Israel and shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. And I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith God. And I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away. And I will bind up that which was broken, and strengthen that which was sick. And I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. You know, and we see it in the restoration branches today. I had a brother-in-law that when things started happening at church, and well, that gave him an excuse not to go. And then he looked and said, well, they can't even agree amongst themselves. That gave him a bigger excuse not to go. Therefore, he doesn't go anywhere. In spite of the many times the Lord has shared with him and petitioned him to come back into the fold. But we see it in the restorations, branches. And if the shepherds aren't feeding the sheep, they'll get hungry and go someplace else. But you find a branch where the shepherds are feeding the sheep, and the Spirit of the Lord dwells within that branch and amongst the flock, you'll find a strong flock in one of his sheepfolds. In John.
One thing I had a brother tell me one time, I was kind of struggling with some things and I was allowing some people to get between me and Christ. And this is all something we all struggle with from time to time, but it's also something that we've all got to get by. And he said, so what you're saying is that you're going to allow that person to get between you and your salvation, or that issue, or whatever it may be, to get between you and your salvation and get between you and Christ and keep you from Christ. When you think of it that way, things seem pretty petty. You know, if I'm going to walk away because somebody said something that offended me, number one, I need to get thicker skin. Number two, you know, that's keeping me there from my salvation, from Christ. And when we do that, then Satan's won, and we've just simply walked away because we're allowing others to get between us and Christ.
Wondered, I think. Hi, Kenny.
Just to go along a little bit with what Sean was saying there, I used to have an aunt that said, used to make this statement, if they've come between you and Christ, then they have to be closer to Christ than you are to be in the way. And the thing that I was really wanting to talk about is how critical it is that we can hear the voice of the Master. Because we've been talking about those shepherds which are destroying the flock, but he says, I will give them shepherds after mine own heart that shall feed the flock. And those are also out there. So which shepherd are we listening to? Who are we following?
Sometimes we know it requires a sacrifice to get where we need to be. You know, we might have to drive a few miles to get where we can be fed. Or the Lord might require us to sell everything we have and gather in closer to where we can be amongst His people. Back in John, you know, it's talking about the sheepfold. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Where is he leading them? I'm looking for answers. I might not be able to give you that answer. Anybody got an idea where the Lord's leading them? Lead them to kingdom, the fat pastures, or green pastures. It goes down, and I like this.
I'd like to give a testimony about this, where he calls them by name. We had in our branch a lady, and her husband was a member, but he was inactive. But they'd come, and he'd asked for administration, and she also felt like she should be administered too. And out of that, she felt such a great love that she went down into the waters of baptism. Well, it wasn't long after that, one night she heard her name being spoken, Jill, and so she got up thinking her husband was up and calling for her, and he was still asleep. So this was a week or two later, she was administered for something else, and the man who was sharing in the administration all of a sudden felt led to say, I have called you by name, and I know you. And then immediately she reflected upon the experience that she'd had where she'd heard somebody calling her name.
We got a very personal Lord, don't we? You know, if I try to think of all of His creation, and, you know, you can't put numbers to it. But you know that He loves each one the same. What a marvelous thing. And each one of us sitting in this room today have probably had Him call us in one way or another. It might not have been, you know, Lynn or Joe or something like that. But we felt the prompting of His spirits, and it was for no one else except you or me calling after us to follow Him. In the ninth verse, He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. probably most of us here have entered in through the waters of baptism. Brother Melvin.
I think we need to consider also that we had a desire to follow. We had a desire to be a part of that because the Lord does not drive you. He loves you and He wants you to make that decision. So it's within us to be responsive to that spirit. Just like the lady my brother was talking about, he called her name. We need to be attentive. And then the second part is we need the power of the Holy Ghost to be sure that when our name is being called, it's Jesus Christ calling us, not somebody else.
I don't remember all the details of a testimony that I'd heard shared a number of years ago. But in this experience, I believe it was a dream, he saw two pastures. One was eaten down in a very poor pasture, and the other one was right beside it, and the gate was open, was lush green grass, and the sheep would not go, or those who were in the poor pasture would not go into the good pasture. And I think it's very important that we search out the sake of our souls, but also for the sake of our children, our grandchildren, those places that you can get fed and nourished upon the Word of God.
I think about us this week. And we've come in to maybe what we'd call a sheepfold, where we can worship the Lord away from the world and the protection of away from the world. And yet, it says, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. And we know tomorrow we'll be departing from this place. Have to go back out into the world with the temptations and the busyness that is around us. And when we find ourselves getting a little weary, a little down, there's a reason why the Lord commanded His people to meet together often. We gain strength from one another. We pray for one another. We bear our testimonies, which helps give support to one another. Leonard and then Lynn.
One of the ways that we know that it's a green pasture is we know we are fed. We will judge this reunion by whether we were fed. And if we're fed to that point where it's full to running over, I've experienced a number of times in our branch where on Wednesdays, many of the people in the branch begin to pray for Sunday. And some of the experiences have been so great that on Monday, all you can do the whole day, you can't do anything but praise the Lord for the experiences you've had the day before. And that should be, if we are fed by the Word of God and we're filled, when you leave this campground, you'll be praising the Lord for the experiences that you've had.
Lynn, and then we're here.
Last evening, I had to go and at 6 o'clock and see some of my family in from Canada. And I did not want to go because I know their lifestyle. And I knew I didn't want to leave here. I said, Paul, I don't want to go. And he said, Lynn, you have to go. So I went. And as it turned out, there was one carload hadn't arrived yet. And they said, aren't you going to wait? I said, no, I'm going back to church. And they said, will you come back afterwards? And I says, well, I'll give it some thought. Well, I came to church, and I'm so glad I did. I got so much out of that service. And I went back to the house, and I was only there maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I had 12 grandchildren in that house. Some of them hardly even said hello. I hadn't seen one probably in 2.5 years. They live a total, total different lifestyle. I know Ramona said she was not comfortable. Arlo, he just plays, he's just happy with everybody. But I love them. I pray for them. But it's hard. And not one even asked how Paul was or how Papa was. And yet he's done so much for them. Yes, it hurts. And yet I think that's just a taste of what our Lord must feel when we rebel. And I just pray that I can still be that loving grandmother to them and not go down to their level, but try to bring them up. But it's hard.
You know, Jesus, Father, forgive them for what they do. They don't know what to do, you know. And then he said, well, who is my mother and who is my brother? And what he shared with me about that, it's not necessarily those that are physically close to you or blood relatives. But it's those that are as close to you as you are close to the Lord.
As you were talking about people that have been spoken to, it reminded me of a time years ago when I was attending a reunion as a child, and I remember it so very vividly. This dear sister had been praying 35 years that her husband would join the church. He was a good man, but he just had never joined the church. He did come to her to reunion with her, and that year he was spoken to under the influence of the Spirit by one of the appointees at the reunion, and this man had never previously met this brother, and he told him that his relatives that had gone on before him were praying and very concerned and wanted him to accept the gospel. And as a result, he was baptized at that reunion, and a year later, he had passed away by the time that reunion came. But his wife was so joyful over that.
It's a response to the callings of the Master. Now, I've had a few occasions where I know that there are those that the Master spoke to give them some direction, that didn't respond. I know a family was told that they needed to gather to Maysville before the last trump. They asked me where Maysville is. At the time, I didn't know where it was, but it's up around Cameron. A good restoration branch there. They didn't respond. Their one daughter ended up getting a divorce, married a Muslim, and has joined that faith. This brother and his son joined the remnant. Since then, the Lord has called them back into the fold, where they resume the authority of priesthood, which they had after repentance. But when we don't respond when the Master calls, sometimes time can pass. I remember in our little branch in Persia, Iowa, and the pastor come up to me and said, "Dan, you have a priesthood call, but you're not ready." So then I began to search why I wasn't ready. Well, I actually knew why I wasn't ready. You know, within you, judgment. So after some time, I was called to the office of teacher. We moved to Missouri, down to Adrian. I felt need to get my patriarchal blessing. Went up and talked to Brother Luther Troyer. And we set up a time that I might get my blessing in a few weeks, give him time to prepare. So during that time, I get this letter. And he says, "Dan, I can't give you your blessing. You're not ready." Once again, I looked at my life and started evaluating my life. And Eddie Butterworth was in Butler doing a series. Never talked to the man before. Knew he was a patriarch. Went up to him after he got done that night. And I says, "Brother, how will I know when I'm ready?" And he says, "You're ready. You need to contact Brother Troyer again." And I did, and had my patriarchal blessing. And I don't know why I needed to wait. But I know the blessing I got was so great and means so much to me. I would have hated to get it before I was ready and the Lord not be able to share some of the things he did that carry me. The Master's calling us again to come into his sheepfold and to prepare ourselves. And I have no desire to come up to the gates of Zion and have him say, "You are not ready to enter in." That's what's at stake with the way we live our lives. Today, of preparation for the great and marvelous things which are yet to come. Brother Melvin?
We were talking about following Christ and living the celestial law through sanctification. And that is living the celestial law when you become sanctified. And I run across a scripture a few years back that has been intriguing to me ever since. And it's in the 17th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, paragraph 6. And I'll just read 6D. "But there is a possibility that a man may fall from grace and depart from the living God. That is, even after he has been sanctified. It's a constant need to study the word of the Lord and follow Him and remain sanctified. So when people, I hope they never get the idea, they think because they've crossed the line, they've won. No, when you've crossed the line, you have begun, in my point.
Jesus Christ says, wants to lead us to the greener pasture, and the greener pasture is heaven with Him and God. Now, my father-in-law had passed away, but he come back and made it known to his son that it was indescribably great there in heaven. So there ain't no better greener pasture than there.
What a great blessing awaits us. Brother Eric. Brother Eric.
I'm reminded of testimony of Roy Hopkins, who in his memoirs, it's very good reading, by the way, if anyone wants to read it, but he talks about his priesthood calling, and he had a dream that he was on a train, and there was a group of people sitting next to him, and he was prompted by the Spirit that he needed to talk with that group of people about the gospel. And he put it off, said, well, I'll just wait for maybe a better time, you know, when the train stops or something like that. And when he looked next, all of those people had left and gotten off the train. And he was led to know that because he was called to the priesthood and he declined, or he didn't accept the call. And not until years later did he accept the call. And he was led to know that because of his procrastination, that there were people who were lost, that he didn't provide ministry to, that he didn't tell the gospel to. And so I just thought of that when we're discussing this subject.
We've got a lot of responsibilities as priesthood and as members. Walked on a reunion ground the first year I went to Woodbine. Walked upon the reunion grounds, and I felt a need that I should talk to this man. And I felt that three times. And I didn't go see him. Well, it's hard for me to go talk to a stranger. Hard to believe, maybe, but I just didn't know what I was going to say. Didn't trust in the Lord. And so I didn't talk to him. We went there the next year. Sat in a prayer service. I felt prompted to stand and ask for his forgiveness for whatever he might have went through that year or did, had to do, because I didn't respond to the promptings of the Lord's Spirit. Later on in that service, he says, well, brother, he says, I don't know what need you have to ask me for forgiveness. And then he turned to another brother and said, I was prompted that I should talk to this other brother that had cancer. And I didn't do it, and he asked his forgiveness. People suffer when we don't respond, when the Lord puts that prompting within us. You know, this man, because of that experience, we grew close together. A few years after that, Joe knows and Sean knows and Leonard and Melvin maybe, the Woodbine Reunion Grounds have got what they call a grove, kind of resembling what maybe Joseph went out to, surrounded with trees. And this man went out to pray. He was going to preside over a service later on in the week, and he was a newly ordained elder. And we're walking up to the chapel one night, and he says, "Dan, I need to tell you something." Well, that's fine. Well, it's so simple, I'm afraid to tell anybody else. He says, "I went out into that grove to pray, and the mosquitoes was so bad, I couldn't hardly stand it. And so the first words out of my mouth was, 'Lord, please stop these mosquitoes from biting.' Never got a bite." Talked to him 3 years later. I says, "You ever have another mosquito bite?" He said, "No." Just the littlest things. When we humble ourselves and approach the throne of God, He can do in our lives. Darren.
Dan, I'd like to go and share of a time many years ago. I went through and I allowed a gentleman within our Des Moines branch literally push me out of the branch. He was, in my opinion, he was very offensive to me, and I pulled my complete family out of the church for about a year, and we went somewhere else. While I was gone, I was attending another class there at this other church, and they were talking about, we were studying about people being offended. And one of the things that this gentleman went and said, in order to be offended, one has to take offense. And that means that you have to willingly accept that offense. And I had realized that that's what I had done. I had willingly taken offense to what he had said. Eventually, things worked out to where I was able to go back to the my church in Des Moines. That gentleman is still there, but I have learned how to deal with him a lot better. And I will never allow another person to push me out of the garden and where I'm supposed to be.
Scripture says when we're right with the Lord, nothing should offend us. I want to read to you a scripture out of 3rd chapter of Alma, verses 105 and 106. "And now I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call after you. And if you will hearken unto his voice, he will bring you into his fold, and ye are his sheep. And he commandeth you." This is the responsibility he's given to each of us after we enter into the fold. "And he commandeth you that ye suffer no ravenous wolves to enter in among you, that ye may not be destroyed." You know, each of us have responsibilities in our branches. We do our business in the church by the voice of the people. So when we accept or reject, we each have that responsibility to watch that no wolves come in sheep's clothing and enter in amongst the flock. I want to share a little bit out of section 18 of our Doctrine and Covenants. Starting at 2F. "Therefore I command you to repent and keep the commandments which you have received by the hand of my servant Joseph Smith Jr. in my name. And it is by my almighty power that you have received them. Therefore I command you to repent. Repent lest I smite you with the rod of my mouth, and by my wrath and by my anger, and your sufferings be sore, how sore ye know not, how exquisite ye know not, yea, how hard to bear ye know not. For behold, I, God, have suffered these things for all, that they might not suffer if they would repent. But if they would not repent, they must suffer even as I. Whatsoever causes myself, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain and to bleed at every pore, and to suffer both body and spirit. And would that I might not drink of the bitter cup and shrink. Nevertheless, glory be to the Father, and I partook and finished my preparation unto the children of man. Therefore I command you again to repent, lest I humble you by my almighty power, that you confess your sins, lest you suffer these punishments of which I have spoken, of which in the smallest, yea, even in the least degree, ye have tasted at the time I withdrew my spirit. That can be a lonely time. When he withdraws his spirit from us because we will not repent. But he calls after us. Let's take a 10-minute break while Wilson changes a CD, and we'll finish up with our class. Thank you.